Today on Real Radio.
But you know what we do? We say amen to that. We nod our heads to that. And then if we sin, we think we got to pray an extra hour long to get better with God. We think we got to give an extra $5 to get better with God. We think that we've got to do maybe 2 more church visitations or something to get right with God. And that is absolutely anathema to God. And yet that's exactly what our emotions tell us. Church, do you hear me?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're in a series within a series taken from the first part of chapter 4, where the divine Messiah was tempted directly by Satan himself. This mini-series is called Temptation. What are we to do? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Listen, what does that mean if we're going to allow him to convict us? Number one, conviction proves my relationship with God. That's a great thing. John 16, verse 8, Jesus said, "And when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you'll see me no more. And of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged." Satan being judged. So conviction in my life proves that the Spirit of God is working in my life and he works in the lives of his children. That's a good thing. When I'm heading down the wrong path, God the Holy Spirit stings me with his truth of conviction. Again, embrace that. Why? Hebrews chapter 12. I love this verse. This is comforting. Hebrews 12 verse 5 says, "Have you forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons?" God is speaking to us as children. He says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you." Why? Because we belong to him. So Lord, convict me. How do I deal with temptation? By being open to the conviction of God in my life. Jesus and the Pharisees, you know the story with the adulterous woman. She was caught in the very act. Listen to what the Bible says. In John 8, 7, it says that when they continued asking Jesus about this sin question, he raised himself up from the ground. Jesus had been writing in the dirt and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." And again, he stooped down and Jesus wrote on the ground. And then those who heard it or saw what he had written were convicted by their conscience. That's a good thing. Convicted. Oh, this is wrong. By the way, conviction without going to Christ in confession, that conviction untouched leads to guilt, which leads to shame, which leads to a life of often covering things up. It doesn't need to be that way. But conviction proves that my relationship with God is intact. Another thing is that conviction tells me of a better way. When God convicts you and I, "Well, you ought not to be looking at that," God will say. "You ought not to be saying that." God might say, "Don't think like that." Why is he saying that? Because he's got a better way for you and I to live. Even in our conscience, in our mind. Have you not noticed that God is in your head? I don't know. Well, if you think a nasty thought, he'll be there. Some people say, "God never speaks to me." Oh yeah, sin. You'll hear him speak. You notice that? Oh, he speaks loud and clear. Conviction tells me of a better way. Psalm 65:11, great verse for the year, by the way. Psalm 65:11, he says, "You crown the year with your goodness and your paths drip with abundance." God will provide the way. He tells us of a better way to live. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death." See, I can go my way and wind up in destruction. But God loves me. He convicts me. He's not mean to me. He loves me, so he convicts me. And then he tells me, "Jack, there's a better way, because your way, Jack, ends in death." And then Proverbs 3:6, you all love this verse, it's great. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways acknowledge God and he will direct your paths. Isn't that a great promise? Man, do you have any decisions to make today or tomorrow? Acknowledge the Lord and he'll direct it. Man, that's great. I love it. Not only does conviction prove our relationship with the Lord and tell us about a better way, thirdly, it reminds us of how much God loves us. It reminds us of how much God loves you and I. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 8 says, because the Lord disciplines those whom he loves, and he punishes every one of his own sons. Endure hardship as discipline. Did you hear that? I need to hear that. Endure hardship as discipline. Not that you've fallen out of favor with God. God says endure because you're a child of his. God is treating you as a son. For what son is not disciplined by his father? That's a sarcasm. Every son's disciplined by his father, assuming his father loves him. If you are not disciplined, then you are an illegitimate child and you're not a son of God. Wow. So you see why now I want to embrace conviction? Oh, Lord, convict me. Church, have you ever prayed this prayer? Maybe we all pray it together. Lord, don't let me get away with anything. That's a good prayer to pray. Lord, convict me. Lead me, guide me, show me. Don't let me do my own thing, God. Your will be lived out in my life. That's a joyous thing. You see, the closer I walk with Jesus, the more conviction I'm going to have. And every time the Lord convicts me, it's another reminder of his desire for my life. Psalm 23, right now I'm reading that book, The Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. It's a wonderful book. And in that book, he writes, of course, about Psalm 23, but he makes his comment upon this verse where David says, for you are with me and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That can easily be understood as God's conviction, his leadership, and his comfort. He not only convicts us, that is, if a little lamb was walking away, his rod and his staff, the shepherd walks up, and if this little lamb keeps going away, he keeps running away, the shepherd takes the lamb, and he's hugging him and kissing him, you know, they're very close. Shepherd to the sheep, lays him down on the ground, takes two rocks, stretches out the leg, out over two rocks, and there's a space between the two rocks, and he's petting that little lamb, but that little lamb keeps running astray, you know. That little lamb keeps backsliding. And so he takes his rod and he places it right over that leg and wham, he breaks the leg of that little lamb. Snaps it right in half. That lamb screaming, crying. And then for about 4 weeks, and by the way, he doesn't splint that broken bone. He leaves it. But the lamb spends the next 4 weeks on the shoulders of the shepherd, smelling his sweat, hearing his heartbeat, sensing his presence, completely dependent upon the shepherd for everything. He's handicapped now. He's broken to bust his will, to keep him from running and going astray from the shepherd. Does it sound brutal? Yes. Did the shepherd want to break the leg of that little lamb? No. The little lamb in his rebellious actions kept running away because the shepherd loved the lamb. The shepherd had to discipline the lamb. And for the rest of the life of that little lamb, he limped like Jacob. But you know what? From that time on, he stayed close. Every lamb that has been disciplined by the shepherd stays the closest to the shepherd from that moment on. That's why I say, Lord, we receive your conviction. Amen? Vitally important. Very important. Point number two, temptation. What are we going to do? We are going to be encouraged by taking forgiveness. We're going to receive the forgiveness of God. Please hear this. If you forget everything else today, you need to wake up your friend around you and say, get this down. Forgiveness. Why do you and I have such a hard time receiving the forgiveness of God? What's wrong with us? You know what's wrong with us? We don't understand. God the Father has an agreement with God the Son that what Jesus did on the cross warrants forgiveness to all those who will cry out to Christ. Did you hear that? What is your responsibility? To cry out to Christ. You cannot earn forgiveness. You cannot pay for forgiveness. You can't do penance to get forgiveness. That is anathema. You are to cry out to God. Oh, God, forgive me. God, listen. God the Father, through Christ Jesus, based upon the work of Christ at the cross, must issue forgiveness based upon your cry for forgiveness. It is an agreement between God the Father and God the Son. But you know what we do? We say amen to that. We nod our heads to that. And then if we sin, we think we got to pray an extra hour long to get better with God. We think we got to give an extra $5 to get better with God. We think that we've got to do maybe 2 more church visitations or something to get right with God. And that is absolutely anathema to God. And yet that's exactly what our emotions tell us. Church, do you hear me? When you cry out to Him, you need to be conscious of the fact that you need to, by faith, receive the forgiveness of God. You say, well, Pastor, I don't feel like it. I don't care how you feel. Believe and have faith in what the Bible says. By the way, that'll change your feelings. Jot this down. We need to receive God's forgiveness because it releases me from the grip of sin or from sin's grip in my life. Back in the days of the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 16, verse 8, I love this. Great, great theological truth. Aaron, the high priest, would get all the people together and they would begin to confess their sins. But watch this. They would take 2 goats. And let me read it to you. Leviticus 16, verse 8. And as Aaron cast the lots upon 2 goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot upon the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him as a sin offering. In other words, that lamb was sacrificed for the sins of the nation. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. Say, what? Yeah, they would take 2 lambs. They would pronounce the sin of the nation upon 1 lamb and then kill the lamb, take the innocent blood and present it to God. And God said, all right, your sins are covered. Now watch this. The second lamb, they would pronounce the sins of the nation upon it, and they would drive the lamb out into the Judean wilderness, and they had men stationed that belonged to the priesthood upon the mountaintops. They would shush that lamb away until it was so far gone that once it was invisible, out of sight of the people, they would announce by raising a flag from one hilltop to the next, all the way back to Jerusalem. And once that news hit Jerusalem that our sins on the lamb can no longer be seen, then the people rejoiced and thanked God that they had been forgiven. That's a very important thing to keep in mind when John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who, what? Takes away the sins of the world. Every Jew understood what John was talking about when Jesus walked by that day. You need to receive the forgiveness of God because it sets us free from sin's grip. Understand that forgiveness is God's business. You are to agree with him in faith. You are to read the Bible, believe it, and you're to act upon it. And there's a great benefit to doing this. Why? How so? Because look at number 2. Because it enables me to hear from God again. When you and I sin as Christians, if we fall to temptation and we have sinned, what do? Well, we need to confess our sin to God. Why? Because we can hear from him again. I'm going to say something that's going to shock you, but let me prove it to you. Church, listen carefully. If you're a Christian today, if you commit a sin, you don't lose your salvation. It's impossible. Well, then what happens? Then why do I have to ask God to forgive me? Because you lose fellowship. You lose communication. How many of you have kids? Raise your hands. When your kids sin, do you tear up their birth certificate? No, you're stuck with them. If your kid sins, he's still your kid. But look, you're not interested in talking to him about what's his birthday gift all about and what he's going to get for Christmas. Why? Because fellowship's been broken. Are you with me? He's still your child, but you're not talking to him. Until he comes and he says, what? I'm sorry for biting my sister. Or I'm sorry for kicking the dog. You know what? They have to confess. Receiving forgiveness enables me to hear from God again. In Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save, that is rescue, nor is his ear heavy that he cannot hear you. But your sins have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear you. Some of you are in that place right now. You've sinned away from God. You're a Christian, but you're miserable, and you know it. You hate your life. Why? Because you are a little rebellious lamb, you are. You've been running around doing your own thing, and you're so funny because you know what? You've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. You're born again. You're going to heaven. And that's why you're so miserable. You're trying to go back and do the old things you used to do. You got, you know, you're, imagine all these people around and they're drinking at a party and you're backslidden, you're following your own desires. You're going to walk out on God, so you're at that party and you got your beer or maybe you're smoking and you're going back to the old ways and all this stuff. You got the drugs out there on the table or maybe it's the sex scene and you're there. Just keep this in mind. When God looks at you, he sees you as a little lamb holding a beer can. I mean, is that hilarious or what? He sees you as a little lamb with all the sin around you, and you don't fit there anymore, and you know it, you can't stand it, you're not happy, and you say, oh, wasn't it a great time last night, man? Oh, we partied on, oh, it was great, and you don't believe a word you're saying. You're fed up with it, and you can't stand your life. Why? You've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're his, and he won't let you be happy. He won't let you be satisfied until you repent and come back to him, and then he'll talk to you. But until then, you're a little lamb of his wandered far from home. And if you don't come back, he's going to leave the 99, he says, and go after you. He's going to find you. And he's going to say, I love you so much. I love you so much. I'm going to break your little leg, you little stinker. And snap it. I should have an altar call right now. You know, no kidding. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, this is written to the Christian, by the way. 1 John is written to the Christian, not the non-Christian. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, listen, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that great news? Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, Jesus says, teaching us to pray, your kingdom come, he told us to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's written to the Christian. Do you remember when Jesus said, if you do not forgive other people, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you? That has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with fellowship. He will not listen to you until you repent. He was speaking to his kids. He says, I am not going to forgive you and cleanse our relationship together until you issue forgiveness to other people. In other words, listen, if you won't talk to other people in the family of God, God says, I'm not going to talk to you. If you won't forgive them, God says, then listen, you're still my child, but we're not talking. And I'm not going to forgive you until you come back and settle this. That's why the Bible says if you have something against your brother or your brother has something against you, what are you supposed to do to him? Gossip all around town about it. No, that's what people do. But the Bible says you keep your mouth shut and you go to him and you tell him, you know what? We need to fix this. Amen? And you make effort to do that. No, God's not going to talk to us. How important is it to you and I that God speak to us? I tell you what, it's all important. Look, I have to stand up in front of you a couple times a week. Okay, my wife enjoys that because we can't stand in an argument very long, you know. I got to go sit with God and God will not speak to me. I'm telling you right now, if you could just see, there's times when Lisa and I disagree. I think we should go left. She thinks we should go right. And so we're talking about it. And no, I don't think so. No, I don't know about this. I got to go study the Bible. And I sit down. Okay, Lord, speak to me. God says, ain't no way. Go in there. But God, you know that you agree with me, God, that we should go left on this thing. And even if God is saying, yeah, I know you should go left on this thing, but you know what? You need to go make up with her. He will not speak to me. One of the greatest things about Christian growth is being committed to a Christian work. You want to know why? You know who's the greatest benefactor of it all? Me. You. But if you have no one to answer to, and if God is not big, you can just kind of do your own thing and be very loose about stuff. That would terrify me because I'd probably wind up robbing a bank or taking over some small country. I mean, that's terrifying what the flesh can do. Fellowship's restored and we can hear from God again. Number three, under this point, we're going to receive the forgiveness of God because it empowers me with joy. I love this. In Psalm 51, this is a great psalm. Note it down. Psalm 51, David had sex with Bathsheba. he kills her husband, has sex with another man's wife, she's pregnant. It's horrible. God convicts him. Remember, you've read it? He's convicted. He winds up confessing, and he writes Psalm 51. He says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit, Lord. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." Did you hear what David said? Oh, God, and by the way, it's about a year's time. Oh, God, I can't take it anymore. I sinned against you. I murdered a man. I took his wife. I sinned against you. But God, if you forgive me, I'll be filled with joy again, and then I can tell sinners about your wonderful love and your grace. You see, a lot of Christians, maybe it's you today, maybe you're sitting here and you don't want to tell anybody about Jesus because you don't have any joy. And you need to stop today and say, "Lord, have I fallen to temptation? Have I given into temptation and I've sinned? And I have no joy in my life as a Christian." The sense and the feeling upon us when that happens is we can never come back to God, isn't it? We can never make it way back. It's too hard to come back. God won't have me. God doesn't want me. And that's a lie from the pit. God says, "Come on back, and your joy will be restored. You'll be empowered by the joy of God." Colossians 2, verse 13 says, "And you, being dead in your trespasses and your uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all transgressions, having wiped them out of the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which was contrary to us. He took them out of the way, having nailed them to his cross." That's good news. And so he empowers us. Point number three, temptation. What are we to do? We're going to be encouraged. Say, "Jack, it's kind of like positive confession." Well, I don't know what you want to call it, but I'm going to tell you right now. We need to take the Bible and believe it. And you and I need to be encouraged. And it's not positive confession. This is biblical confession. And here it is. Encouragement causes me to try again. Don't tell me that you don't need encouragement to try again. 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to all men. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear. But with that temptation will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Every time a temptation comes, God has anticipated Satan's attack against your life, and you need to look for the out. A lot of us just look at the temptation and think we have to be beaten by it. Another consideration, jot it down if you would. Third point under this consideration of encouragement is that you and I, listen, encouragement causes me to encourage you. When I'm encouraged, that comes out.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a mini-series called Temptation, What Are We to Do? A study taken from the first part of Luke chapter 4. Now, as we've mentioned, this mini-series on temptation is available in a convenient 4-CD set, and our offer is this: for your tax-deductible contribution of any size to the outreach of Real Radio, we'll send it right out to you. Just ask for the Temptation CD series. In a moment, we'll tell you how to get in touch. In the meantime, we also want to remind you about an upcoming event. It's the final weekend in February, the 26th, 27th, and 28th. It's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The Southern California Bible Conference. Visit us at realradioactive.org to find out more. realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to send in that contribution, here's our address: Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.